Ready to go. Benham. Ah, there's good news.
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what is up or down. Black or white.
Legal.
Or
impeachable.
Everything is make-believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into... Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
Truth isn't truth.
I hear it's fake news, but maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
I think it's fake news, okay? Now, would I do that? Absolutely.
We're doing a lot of things that are very good, including waste and fraud. Tremendous waste and tremendous fraud.
The President of the United States has the authority to do what the President has the authority to do.
You will respect my authority.
Yeah, I've declared myself as king.
I learned a lot from Richard Nixon.
Well, when the president does it, that means that it is not illegal.
I cannot tell a lie. I'm sorry. I could cause panic much better than even you. I could do much. I would make you look like a minor league player.
Good morning, America. President Trump with a somber warning, changing his tone on coronavirus.
Good morning. A change in tone from President Trump.
Change in tone.
President Trump took a more serious tone.
Now we have a significant shift in tone.
Changing his tone.
A significant shift in tone.
Now President Trump is changing his tone.
President Trump changing his tone.
The president's new tone.
We saw that slight tone change, change in tone from the president.
President Trump takes a somber new tone.
The president to adopt this different tone.
We're seeing a drastic change in tone.
The change in tone.
The president changing his tone.
And a shift in tone.
A real shift in tone for the president.
The shift in tone from the White House.
A more serious tone.
And a change of tone.
President Trump sharply changed his tone.
President Trump is also significantly changing his tone.
A tone of seriousness from the president.
A change from the tone of the president. We've got to talk about this.
Resumed his televised press briefings on the coronavirus yesterday with a moderated tone.
As the coronavirus pandemic rages and cases rise uncontrollably, there's one man to blame, Anthony Fauci. Fauci says he's a doctor, but what kind of doctor doesn't wear a stethoscope? And if he's really a doctor, why is he so short? We don't need leaders who adjust their assessment when they get new information. We need leaders who stick with their gut assessment despite new information.
That's going to sort it's of going just to disappear.
If Fauci cares so much about saving lives, why didn't he do anything about the Spanish flu? And if he loves Americans so much, why is he palling around with suspicious immigrants? Anthony Fauci, definitely the only person to blame for this whole situation.
I don't know, doctor. I've never tried therapy before, let alone over Zoom or whatever. But I just have really been going through a rough time with this pandemic. You know, and I know you're not a shrink, but I just didn't know who else to go to. I mean, my country is a mess. I'm not even talking to it right now. I haven't had a haircut in like 5 months. I mean, I know I still look great. Thank you. But I just feel there's no leadership. And, you know, the president is even attacking you. Can't you stop him?
I don't have the qualifications to do that. I can only give people advice from the standpoint of public health.
Dear darling Dr. Fauci, we know you're smart as hell. You're certainly no slouchy. You made it through Cornell. You fought some bad infections. But now you've hit a wall with the worst infection of them all. Gee, Anthony Fauci, so calm and precise. Your raspy voice is sexy and your glasses are nice. You follow the science on facts, you're a lie. You only want us not to die. What a guy.
What a guy, what a guy, what a lovely guy. Like he only wants us not to die.
Dr. Fauci's made some mistakes.
Sir, COVID cases continue to rise. Why would your administration try to discredit the nation's leading expert on infectious diseases?
It is what it is.
Donald, you're satanic. You should have stayed in Queens while we're in full-on panic. You're hawking friggin' beans. The doctors try to save us, but you push them away. Wear your mask and just shut up, okay? Hey, Anthony Fauci, he's dragging us south. Forget the mask, just slap some masking tape on his mouth. While you help protect us, he prays it'll pass. He only covers his own
his fat
his own
big fat.
All he tries to save is his own.
Ivanka Trump finding herself accused of violating federal ethics laws.
She shared a photo endorsing Goya.
Ivanka, take your Goya and blow it out your can. I know this might annoy ya, but we ain't got a plan. Your daddy wants to kill us. Your husband's even worse. Help Ivanka.
Quick, design a purse.
Boy, Anthony Fauci, their strategy sucks. They slander all the experts and promote all the schmucks. And still some are buying the garbage they sell. Please save us, Fauci, we're in hell.
We're in hell, we're in hell, we're in hell, we're in hell, hell, hell.
No, like actually, we're all in hell.
The science should not stand in the way of this. Our schools are extremely important, they're essential, and they must reopen. Yes.
Hey, Kaylee, you're a dipstick, and please don't take offense. Have you been eating lipstick? You're making zero sense. You're pushing propaganda. You're acting like a snob. Love your hair, girl. Do your freaking job. Please, Anthony Fauci, we're all at a loss. We can't rely on Barbie and Cruella DeVos. He's winding them up, and they're playing his tunes. They're all unethical buffoons.
They're buffoons, they're buffoons, they're buffoons. They're all shameless goons. They're deep.
In a way, we're creating trouble.
The trouble is this lady. The trouble is he's mean. The trouble is he's shady. The trouble is this queen. The trouble is she's useless. The trouble's there's no plan.
Dr. Fauci, you're the one he's Angie. Anthony Fauci, we're down on our knees. Hey, girl.
Because no one at the top can help us stop this disease.
Please, Anthony Fauci, he hasn't a clue.
Thank you very much.
Anthony Fauci, we love you.
You probably think I'm crazy.
I'm convinced of that.
We don't have a national plan. Do you take responsibility for that?
Look, I take responsibility always for everything. For everything, for everything, for everything.
Any responsibility?
No, I don't. No, I can't imagine. I can't imagine that. Don't ask me. Ask China that question, okay? Yeah, no, I don't take responsibility at all because...
Do you take any responsibility for these 50,000 deaths that have happened in this country?
I think we've done a great job. Because I don't know anything about it. I mean, you say we did that. I don't know anything about it.
I don't know those gentlemen. Now, it's possible I have a picture with them because I have a picture with everybody. I have a picture with everybody here.
And when you say me, I didn't do it. We have a group of people. I could ask, perhaps.
I didn't say that. They did.
Do you take any responsibility for the fact that you're about to be impeached?
No, I don't take any. Zero, to put it mildly. It's ultimately my job, too. I have to get everybody in line. I take responsibility always for everything.
As you know, the Trump family loves their Goya products, okay? I've been a big fan for so many years. You have green peas, and you can do rice. It says on the back you can do them with rice. You can have these red kidney beans, which also you can do with rice. You have the great black beans, okay? African-American beans, they can be done with, turns out, rice. So this, and then chickpeas, the garbanzo, the great garbanzo. You know, you can do some sort of thing with them. But we're huge fans of Goya, the Goya products. They're so great. But these can also be used for other things. The cans make great toys. So if you're a poor person or a black or a Mexican, they can be toys if you can't afford toys because you've, you know, failed at life or, you know, not taken personal responsibility. So you can also make these toys. You know, like you do a game. We love to do a game. It's called The Nice Garbanzo Beans Are Working Hard at a Job, Earning Money for Their Great Family. And then, you know, the green Irish beans see the Mexican and the black beans hanging out and say, you know, get out of here, kidney beans and frijoles Negroes. And they don't like it when you say that, when you use the N-word. The green pea can't use the N-word. So then they turn and they say, get out of here. Get out of here, you Irish green peas. And now they got violence, so everybody's scared. And then you see how these two, you see how they join forces. They see the nice garbanzo beans, who are awfully light, you know, sort of a light bean, working hard over here. And they say, we're going to get you. We want what you have, and we don't want to have to work for it. Essay, And this one says the N-word, and it's, you know, you can't say it back to him, but he says it. And now they're intimidating, and they're bullying, and it looks like he's going to fall off, and he loses his business and possibly, you know, die. This one's probably MS-13 beans, and this one is probably Chicago beans, we call them. And then all of a sudden, who comes to the rescue? It's Trump Diet Coke. Get out of here, and I'm going to call our great police law enforcement. And then here come Blue Chips Matter. We got the Blue Chips, and they say, you're coming with me. And now we all celebrate, and we have a great thing with the white garbanzo beans, the Trump Diet Coke, and our great Blue Chips Lives Matter. So you can do anything. You can make great foods with these, or you can do nice things like play games that are family-friendly like that, that teach important lessons. So that's it. We endorse strongly Goya products, and I'm off to get some McDonald's, so we'll see what happens.
Now, you might be thinking, hey, Stephen, they've completely shanked this pandemic. If only someone was on TV every day lying about it. Well, great news, because Trump is bringing back coronavirus briefings. Oh, that's too bad. I was hoping he was just going to disappear with the warmer weather. But Trump's bringing back the briefings for one vital reason.
I was doing them, and we had a lot of people watching, record numbers watching. In the history of cable television, there's never been anything like it.
Well, of course they're watching. It's a captive audience.
Let's see. I could watch life-saving information about the virus that could kill me and everyone I love, or a rerun of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. That's the one where he chokes on a pork chop. Too disturbing. Corona it is! And remember, this spring, Trump quit holding the briefings after he was mocked widely for suggesting that people might be able to counter the virus by ingesting or injecting the bleach. He had huge ratings for the same reason he stopped doing them, because they were a disaster. You should have seen that train derail off the bridge. I mean, so many people watched. The president also gave an insight into the secret of his high ratings.
Well, I'll do it at 5 o'clock like we were doing. We had a good slot.
We had a great slot right before Jeopardy, which is what I'm putting everyone's lives in. I'm not even sure how informative these things are going to be, because according to his aides, President Trump no longer attends coronavirus task force meetings because he does not have the time. Look, I'm way too busy to care about human life. What? There'll be cameras? Make way for daddy.
The president might finally be pretending to take the virus seriously, because after months of eschewing masks, suddenly he's shooing them. This afternoon he tweeted,
"We are united in our effort to defeat the invisible China virus. And many people say that it is patriotic to wear a face mask when you can't socially distance. There is nobody more patriotic than me, your favorite president."
We got a preview of what the new coronavirus briefings will be like yesterday when Trump did an interview on Fox News Sunday on Fox News. He was interviewed by Chris Wallace, and they talked about, and I'm rounding down here, everything. The main topic was the still raging coronavirus pandemic, and Wallace pointed out that cases were up 194% nationwide, but Trump wasn't worried.
"Many of those cases are young people that would heal in a day. They have the sniffles, and we put it down as a test."
Mr. President, you can't downplay this virus and your failure to address it by calling it the sniffles. The American people aren't dying of lung boo-boos or brain ouchies.
When it comes to actually governing, Trump has had one very specific obsession since the start of this pandemic, and that's his obsession with slowing down testing for coronavirus so he can hide the numbers and make himself look better. And because Trump isn't just a criminal, but a dumb criminal, he has openly confessed to this many times. One of the first times was back in March when he said publicly that he would prefer not to let American coronavirus patients off a cruise ship because it would make the numbers worse.
"I mean, frankly, if it were up to me, I would be inclined to say, leave everybody on the ship for a period of time and you use the ship as your base. But a lot of people would rather do it a different way. They'd rather quarantine people in Berlin. Now, when they do that, our numbers are going to go up. Okay? Our numbers are going to go up. They would like to have the people come off. I'd rather have the people stay, but I'd go with them. I told them to make the final decision. I would rather, because I like the numbers being where they are, I don't need to have the numbers double because of one ship. I'd rather have them stay on. personally.
That's right. President Jigsaw over here openly said he wanted to keep Americans trapped on an infected cruise ship like some sort of coronavirus-themed escape room. Trump has repeated this desire to hide the true extent of the crisis from Americans many times. At a White House event on Monday, for example, a reporter asked him about the lie that more testing leads to more cases, and he offered this truly incoherent response.
Trump, you've said many times that the number of coronavirus cases is going up because testing is increasing.
That's right.
Do you acknowledge that it's going up for other reasons, too? For example, that it's actually spreading? And what are you going to do to stop the spread?
Well, you know that we have one of the lowest mortality rates anywhere. If you know Biden and Obama stopped their testing, they just stopped it. You probably know that. I'm sure you don't want to report it. But they stopped testing right in the middle. They just went no more testing. And on a much lesser problem than the problem that we have, obviously, with respect to this is the worst thing that's happened since probably 1917. This is a very bad thing. All over the world, it's 188 countries right now. But no, we test more than anybody by far. And when you test, you create cases. So we've created cases.
First of all, you're not creating cases. The cases are there whether you test for them or not. You don't create a fire by putting a smoke alarm in your house. If someone gets sick, they're sick whether they get tested or not. It's not like they're at home lying in bed with a 104-degree fever and no sense of taste or smell saying, hey, as long as I don't get tested, I don't have to get treated now to spend the next 3 days crawling to my kitchen. Second, why do you keep saying the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic happened in 1917. Trump has said this more times than I can count, and apparently just no one has corrected him.
We have a very unusual situation where something came in that nobody has seen for many, many decades. Probably 1917 would be the closest analogy if you look at it, the likes of which this world has not seen since 1917.
Nothing like this since 1917.
The last time was of this magnitude, 1917, that's a long time ago.
And on top of that, we're once again seeing nationwide testing problems and delays with cars lined up for hours in the scorching heat and a major testing company announcing that the turnaround for tests is now 7 days, with some waiting even longer.
He's also tried to minimize spikes in case numbers by calling them embers. Wallace called him on that.
But this isn't burning embers, sir. This is a forest
fire.
No,
but I say flames. We'll put out the flames, and we'll put out, in some cases, just burning embers. We also have burning embers. We have embers, and we do have flames. Florida became more flame-like.
Yes, Florida has become more inflamed, and that's not easy. Even before this, the state was 50% illegal fireworks, 32% meth lab explosions, 10% sunburn, and 8% herpes. Wallace continued to hold Trump's feet to the embers, pointing out that America has a very high mortality rate.
We have the 7th highest mortality rate in the world. Our mortality rate is higher than Brazil. It's higher than Russia.
When you talk about mortality rates, I think it's the opposite. I think we have one of the lowest mortality rates in the world.
We're going to take a look. We had 900 deaths on a single day.
We will take a look.
This week.
Ready?
You can check it out.
Could you please get me the mortality rate?
Yeah.
Kaylee's right here. I heard we had one of the lowest, maybe the lowest mortality rate anywhere in the world. You have the numbers, please? Because I heard we had the best mortality rate.
The case rate of similarly situated countries, as Dr. Birx points out, and this is
Number one low mortality rate.
Wow, that's an impressive stat. And it's completely wrong. Can we see Trump's source for that? Kaylee, can I see where Trump get that? He got that stat out of his ass. Wallace called out Trump's prediction that the virus would just go away in the summer.
You made mistakes, too.
I guess everybody makes mistakes.
I was going to say,
I'll be right eventually. I will be right eventually.
You can't use eventually as an excuse for not doing your job. That's like a plumber saying, yeah, your toilet will stop overflowing eventually, like if the building collapses or when the earth is consumed in the ever-expanding sun or perhaps in the ultimate inertial heat death of the universe. What I'm saying is those Legos are really jammed in there. Wallace then asked Trump about Dr. Fauci.
He's a little bit of an alarmist. That's okay.
I'm an alarmist?
A little bit of an alarmist.
Fauci's job is sounding the alarm about epidemics. I'm glad Trump wasn't around during the Revolutionary War.
Paul Revere, little bit of an alarmist. There's one case of redcoats coming, and I'm pretty sure they'll disappear when it gets warmer. One if by land, two if by sea, none if by bleach.
The conversation then turned to the 2020 campaign, and Trump had some choice made-up words about his opponent.
Biden wants to defund the police.
Sir, he does not.
Look, he signed a charter with Bernie Sanders. I will get that one, just like I was right on the mortality rate. Did you read the charter that he agreed to?
It says nothing about defunding the police.
Oh, really?
Come on, Chris. Trump didn't come on Fox News to get fact-checked. Talk to your colleagues. When Trump lies, you put on a blank, dead stare like your brain is turned into delicious polenta. Here's where the interview got really sad. Lately, Trump has been bragging nonstop about passing a cognitive test. Now, remember, passing a cognitive test is not impressive. It checks for things like brain damage. Asking real stumpers like name these three animals, making it the most difficult test Trump has taken since the one where he had to get all the pee in the cup. It's chilling to see the most powerful man in the world bragging that he passed a test that they give to people to find out whether they should be allowed to take the bus by themselves.
I nailed it, and you should see my Apgar score. The doctor touched me right here, and I was able to find the nipple. Then I paid him $130,000.
Now, Wallace said he took the cognitive test, and he said it wasn't that hard. He said you got to do things like identify an elephant, but Trump pointed out that the questions do get way harder.
It's all misrepresentation because, yes, the first few questions are easy, but I'll bet you couldn't even answer the last five questions. I'll bet you couldn't. They get very hard.
Yes, those last ones, those are the tough ones. According to a sample version of the test, the last five questions are, and this is real, name the day, month, year, place, and city. Right now, I would say March 123rd, 2000 and always, hell and crazy town. And just when you thought the Trump presidency couldn't get any darker, we now have horrifying footage from Portland, Oregon, of masked, unidentified federal troops snatching protesters off the streets without a warrant or any probable cause and throwing them into unmarked vehicles.
Who are you? Why are you taking NLG will get you out. What's your name? Tell us your name.
What's your name?
Okay, you're fine. We'll get you out.
You know what's never associated with good news? Unmarked vans. Hey, honey, I think the pizza's here. I'm not sure. There's no license plate, but the guy in the driver's seat is waving us over. Come on, bring the kids. So who are these unmarked, unaccountable kidnappers? Well, apparently, they are officers from the U.S. Marshals Special Operations Group and U.S. Customs and Border Protection's Border Patrol Tactical Unit. Yes, they are tasked with patrolling Mexico's long and troubled border with Oregon. Now, the Customs and Border Protection's acting commissioner explained, you will not see names on their uniforms because these same violent criminals use this information to target them and their families, putting both at risk. Okay, it goes without saying doxing is bad. I wish it went without saying that having a secret police is way worse. And no, the Trump Gestapo is not saying they're just following orders. They're saying they're just following executive orders. And Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler has an idea what this is really about.
As best as I can tell, this is an effort, a last gasp effort by a failed president with sagging polling data who's trying to look strong for his base. He is actually using the federal police function in support of his candidacy.
Well, that explains the new campaign slogan, Trump 2020, get in a van. Today, in the Oval Office, Trump defended his deployment of the feds.
Portland was totally out of control. The Democrats, the liberal Democrats running the place, had no idea what they were doing. How about Chicago? I read the numbers were many people killed over the weekend. We're looking at Chicago, too. We're looking at New York. Look at what's going on.
That's right. It's not just Portland. They're going on tour as the secret police.
Unmarked van. You don't have to read me Miranda rights.
But the Department of Homeland Security reviewed the footage from the past week and admitted one mistake, that the federal officers deployed in Portland didn't have proper training. Yes, our jackbooted thugs did not have the proper training in kidnap etiquette. When you're putting the black bag over someone's head, you have to hold your pinkies out.
On a scale of things are completely hopeless to, no, seriously, it's so hopeless, it's like hopeless to even measure the hopelessness. How hopeless are things right now?
We have infinite opportunity to it up.
So hope maybe?
Well, hope where you can get it, first of all.
Hope where you can get it.
Good enough. It's we have infinite opportunity to up, but hope where you can get it with Masha Gessen.
What is the source of, dare I say, this uncharacteristic hope? Is it the murder hornets? Be honest.
I mean, it took the uprising. We're seeing a well-organized well thought out, inspired and inspirational movement, right, of people who actually have a vision for the future. The biggest protest movement in this country's history.
That's right. Some estimates from last month showed that 26 million people had already participated in Black Lives Matter protests. And that's not even including all the military cosplay enthusiasts.
We've always said that we can't rely on institutions to save us. We have to rely on us. Is this us saving us, minus the Karens? Is it happening?
I think we're trying to. And we're seeing ideas that would have, under normal circumstances, under circumstances of political stability, taken years to penetrate the public consciousness.
Yes, ideas such as universal basic income and healthcare, totally reforming the justice system, and that the Confederates might have been assholes. They were assholes.
All of those ideas are suddenly part of mainstream political conversation. And largely it's up to the Democratic Party to get its act together and realize that this is its mandate.
Ah, yes. Speaking of infinite opportunities to f*** it up, the Democrats.
Meanwhile, Trump has decided that the problem with the rancid swill of racist authoritarianism he's been spewing is that the servings are too small. But there are signs that delicacy isn't packing them in like it once did.
Let's talk about things that shouldn't be hypotheticals, but are, that we actually will have an election in November, number one. Number two, that Trump loses. But what if he loses, but doesn't actually leave?
You know, there are countries in the world where presidents lose elections and then refuse to leave.
Yes.
And so in those countries, we ask, whose side is the military on? Are they going to escort him out of office?
Right.
And then who is legitimate? And the perceived legitimacy depends on the vote count.
Right.
If he loses by the same margin as he won by in 2016, he's not going anywhere.
So he needs to be defeated.
By a landslide.
Oh, God.
But with a drop in voter registration because of the pandemic, voter suppression and other dirty tricks, everything seems increasingly dark to me. And then...
We have this amazing chance.
Yes. Okay.
Right? To just... vote the mother out of office. It is still possible. It's almost miraculous. You know, other people who are living in autocracies have no hope of being able to use their voice and their vote to change their lives fundamentally. And we still have that option. I mean, literally, if enough of us show up at the polls or mail in our ballots, we're going to get rid of him. And we're going to have a chance at reinventing this country.
This is what hope feels like. Masha, you did it.
It will probably, unfortunately, get worse before it gets better.
That is a Trump presidency promise. It gets worse. You can take that to the bank. And I would take it there quickly because I've got some really bad news about our banks.
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.